Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Mark 10, verse 23, our reading today, picks up right after last week's reading, where the rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "Obey the law." And the man said, "Lord, all the commandments I have kept from my youth." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Then one thing you have left to do. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And the young man goes away sad because he had great possessions. Today, we find out that Jesus continues this teaching out from this man to his apostles. He continues the teaching by saying how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we have to admit that in America, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, all of us are more wealthy than any of the apostles gathered in the text. We are even more wealthy than anything that Jesus had. We probably are more wealthy than the young man in this text. And this should frighten us quite a bit, because if we have great wealth, Jesus says it will be difficult for us to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this passage has been abused in so many ways. Jesus is not here speaking about the evils of wealth or the evils of possessions. That's not what he's saying at all. Instead, what he's truly saying, if you see what he's teaching here, is that wealth so often gets in the way of you following after him. After all, what happens to this young man? He goes away sad. I mean, Jesus said, "Come follow me." And I guess if I were this man, I would have fought with Jesus here a little bit. "Well, why do I have to sell everything? It's not that bad. Where is what you're saying to me? Where is that found in the law?" I probably would have put up a fight. And honestly, I would have lost. But still, the fight would have been there. But the young man goes away, not even bothering to argue, because what is made clear is that he loves his wealth more than eternal life. He wants to earn eternal life, and he wants to use his wealth to do it. And so it's not fitting in his picture. Now, just to let you guys know, the end of this man's story doesn't stop here. In fact, it's actually a very pleasant end passed down in church tradition. This young man was named John Mark, and he did go and sell all of his possessions. And the only thing he left to himself was a small loincloth. And he went and followed Jesus even into the Garden of Gethsemane, where, scared at what was happening at Jesus' arrest, he ran off, leaving that loincloth behind. However, he would come back along with all the rest of the apostles, and he would follow after Peter as Peter went about preaching in the land, writing down everything that Peter said and putting it all into a book we call the Gospel of St. Mark. You see, John Mark was affected by the law preached by Jesus that day. He was affected by it, and he followed through. Jesus said, "Give up your love of wealth and come and follow me." And John Mark did. Jesus, however, does not say that to you today. He does say, "Come follow me," but he does not look at you and say, "You must give up all of your wealth." Jesus is nowhere speaking to you that you've got to give up all that you own, sell it off, give it to the poor. He said that to a particular man in a particular situation. But what Jesus does say to you today is that if you have wealth, It is difficult, and later on he even says, it is impossible for a person to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, he says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a person with great possessions to enter the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I have enough difficulty getting a thread through the eye of a needle, much less a camel. You cannot get a camel through that eye. It just doesn't work. And if we are looking to be saved and we have things that stand between us and the salvation of God, if we have other gods, other idols of our making, like wealth, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that is a truism. It is, again, a scary thought because we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to hear the word of God and admit readily to ourselves that we have broken each and every single commandment, which really is a breaking of the first commandment, that you shall have no other gods aside from this one true God. You can have no other God before him. He will abide no false god in his presence, but instead will strike them down and their worshipers, sending them to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And that is terrifying. Because now Jesus is saying that if this is true for you, if you have a false god, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know what the law is there to do. It's there to say what we are to do and what we are not to do. It is there to show us that we are sinners, and it shows us, in fact, that we are so depraved that no matter how hard we try, we cannot achieve righteousness. And righteousness is what is required to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven as a sinner. There is no sin allowed in the presence of God. So what do we do? Well, we can be like that rich young man right there that day and go away sad. We're not looking just at our possessions here, but I would say we need to look also at our desires, at our inclinations, at all of the ways that we live in this world, at all of the things that we demand in this world. We can look at all these things and we can go away sad because, well, there's nothing else for us to do. Or, like the disciples, we can sit there and we can wonder at the words of Jesus and we can question who then can be saved. You have to wonder if the disciples are sitting around at this moment thinking, well, you know, I've got that fishing business up in Galilee. Is Jesus saying I got to sell that too? Or, you know, my father's a priest and, well, we stand to inherit quite a bit of money when he dies. Are we also now excluded from entering the kingdom? I mean, we've been following after Jesus for the better part of a year. Are we going to be able to enter this kingdom? And if you sit there and wonder, then Jesus says to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you to come in. I think it's easy for us when we hear this law, when we hear what God's word is saying about us, it's easy for us to jump straight to the gospel because we know. We know what the end result is. It is that promise of God, despite your sinfulness, you will enter the kingdom of God. But don't jump there yet. Sit in this accusation of the law. Sit and wonder how it is that no matter how hard I work, I can't gain the righteousness that I owe to God. What am I supposed to do after all? Now, if you were sitting there as an apostle this day, as Jesus was speaking to them, got to remember, they had not seen the cross. They had not seen the resurrection. They had not seen the ascension. They had not seen the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, declaring all things and all people clean in Jesus Christ. You sit here dirty. And that's enough. Because if you can sit here just for a moment and say, I am filthy. My works are before the eyes of God worse than the most disgusting things that clean up the most disgusting things. Right? Those rags, those towels you use to clean up the dog's vomit. My works are worse than that. And that's where Jesus needs you first. That's the accusation of the law spitting at you and saying, you are disgusting. And the question then comes, who then shall be saved? The question is, Lord, may I be saved? How, Lord, may I enter this kingdom of heaven you preach about? How, Lord, may I enter into the place that you've promised to prepare for me? And Jesus says to you, according to the works and striving of man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And this is another instance of where I love Peter, because Peter is an absolute idiot. Peter opens his big fat mouth and he shoves his size 14 foot in there. And he says, well, Lord, we've left everything behind. We've done exactly what you've asked. And it shows that Peter is a wonderful exerciser in missing the point. The point is not leave it all behind. The point is that God has saved you in Jesus Christ. And that God uses the most horrible thing ever concocted to kill someone to bring you to life. And on top of that, by the very death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, he promises you that whatever it is that you do give up in this world, whether it's land, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's your possessions, whether it's your honor, whether it's your good reputation, whether it's the entire world thinking well of you, he promises you will gain it back 100-fold in this life with persecution, and even more so in eternal life. When we do give up that which is in the way of us following after Jesus, when we give up the idols of our heart in repentance, then we find the forgiveness of sins. And then we expect persecution to come. We expect the world to hate us. Persecution is going to come for us because we will not look like the world. We steadfastly refuse to bow the knee to what the world demands. And still, no matter what it is that we give up for this, we gain it back. But we do it through persecution. And Jesus calls this good. Persecution, the judgment of this world, is a gift from God. Now, you may not see it as a gift, but Jesus calls it a gift. And then Jesus calls something something. It is that thing. And so by faith, we trust in this. By faith, we accept this as a promise of Christ that the persecution that he sends to us is a gift leading us to everlasting life. And in that life which is to come, persecution will be no longer, but only the benefit of God in absolutely everything that we do. When we give up the idols, the false gods, the things that stand in the way of us looking to the one true God and his salvation, when we repent of our sins, we find the forgiveness of God, which is better than anything else you could possibly imagine giving up. Even if you had to walk through the streets of Milwaukee naked and freezing in the middle of the chilliest winter, you can imagine that you still have more than anyone else in this world because you have the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. And you have the promise of everlasting life. Now, Peter doesn't get this yet, but he will. When he sees his Jesus standing in that room after the resurrection, where Jesus looks at Thomas and says, hey, put your hand here in my side. Touch me and see that I live. Peter begins to finally understand what it is that Jesus has done for him. Because Jesus speaks to him in that moment and will say to him, "Peace be with you." In the death and resurrection of Christ, there's peace. And when we're able to repent of our sins, there's peace. Because there we have Jesus, and where Jesus is, there is always peace. All of the people in this world who put themselves first, all of the people in this world who gain all the wealth of the world and put themselves first, we find them last. We find them not entering the kingdom of God because the gates are closed to them. And it's not because they have stuff. It's not because they have wealth, but it is because they have not Jesus. And again, you can abuse this passage and say, well, be poor. Give it all up. Just follow after Jesus. And Jesus, remember, is not saying get rid of all your wealth. He's saying don't let your wealth stand in the way of me bringing my peace to you. And that is a marvelous picture. Because that is what Jesus is saying to you today. That you will enter the kingdom of God. Not by your works. Those things are impossible. By the work of God upon the cross. And there we find all things are possible, even your salvation. And you have this promise from Jesus Christ. You have it this day. And you have this promise forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.